People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio. This is another of the series of people, places, and things involving UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And with us tonight is Mr. William E. DeLoach, security officer with the Western Electric Corporation in Burlington. Mr. DeLoach lives in Burlington, North Carolina, and several years ago, Mr. DeLoach saw what he thinks was a flying saucer. Mr. DeLoach, I'd like to ask you first of all, sir, how long have you been employed with the Western Electric Corporation?
13 years.
13 years. And this is the first strange object that you've ever seen of this nature, is that right, sir?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Mr. DeLoach, could you just tell our radio audience what you saw?
It was in the fall of the year in 1951. I happened to glance up, and beside a water tank, a silvery aluminum object was coming down out of the clouds. It came down slowly until it reached the height of the water tank. Then it stayed there for several seconds, rotating as it stayed in the air.
Spinning more like a top.
Spinning like a top. And then it took off to the left at a speed so fast that you could not see it, but it left a silver streak behind it. I got a perfect description of the object because it came down beside the top of the water tank, and it was approximately the same size as the water tank.
This object that you saw, now, what time did you see it?
It was about 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning, and this happened at the Western Electric Corporation in Burlington.
No, it didn't happen there. It happened beside another water tank in the city of Burlington.
In the city of Burlington?
Yes, sir.
Did you report this unidentified flying object immediately?
I discussed it the next morning with several people.
I believe someone else was with you at the time that you saw this.
Yes, there was another gentleman with me at the time I saw it. I called to him and asked him to look at it, and he thought I was joking and didn't look until it had already left, and all he saw was a silver streak in the sky.
I have a book here in front of me, sir, and before we went on the air, you pointed, there are several diagrams here of what has been drawn, an artist's interpretation of the reports of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And from this, you have picked picture which resembles that of a top. Is this the correct picture, sir?
That is absolutely a correct picture of what I saw.
Now, this was silver in color.
Silver in color.
And you say that it left at a speed that made it so it was impossible to see.
It left at a speed so rapidly that it was impossible to see it as it left, and it left a silver streak in the sky. There's no doubt but what it was a spaceship on another planet.
And you are certain that, in other words, there is no doubt in your mind as to whether this might have been a so-called sun dog or a reflection from the moon or stars or something like that, or maybe a figment of your imagination.
It could not have been a figment of my imagination because it was still cloudy and the moon did not rise that morning until approximately daylight.
Thank you very much, Mr. DeLoach, for your eyewitness account of this UFO. People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio.
Thank you, Bob.
People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio. The UFO Investigator is the official publication of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, or NICAP. And in the current edition of the UFO Investigator is a paragraph which I would like to read to you. A scientific conclusion that flying saucers are real and under intelligent control was made public this month by a group of California scientists and engineers. The group includes Dr. Robert Baker of UCLA Astronomy Department, Robert Buckley of Caltech Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Dr. Leslie Caburn, University of Southern California's Medical Department, Ward Kimball, head of the Walt Disney Scientific Project Section, and engineers from Marquank Aircraft and Thompson Ramo Woolridge Space Consultants to the Air Force. The this statement almost conclusively indicates that there is beings from other planets observing the Earth from maybe from scientific standpoints or something else. But this is not a belief of WDNC Radio. This is a belief of people who belong to the NICAP organization. The Air Force claims that they have identified 7 out of 10 UFOs reported to them. The purpose of this organization is to find out what the other three are. We have with us tonight Mr. Bernard Hogan, bacteriologist with the North Carolina State Laboratory of Hygiene in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mr. Hogan lives in Cary, and he is president of the local NICAP organization. Mr. Hogan, how did you first become interested in this NICAP field, the UFO field?
Well, I first learned that there were contradictions in the reports regarding flying saucers. They were denied and labeled hoaxes and hallucinations and misidentified objects by the Air Force, and many testimonies by witnesses and Life magazine, Time magazine, and other magazines, including an article by a Navy scientist who tracked the flying saucer. And there was so much contradiction, I decided to look into these things for myself and investigate them scientifically.
Now, this organization has been completely investigated by WDNC Radio, and we can assure our radio audience that the quality of the people that are members of this organization are not fanatics. They are not, a lot of them are scientists, doctors, lawyers, maybe even your next-door neighbor. And they are not definitely, they do not definitely believe that maybe the world is coming to an end or something of that nature. What they are believing, what they are trying to get across to the public, is the feeling that the government should inform all the people of the United States and of the world that these mysterious objects are in our universe, and for that reason we should find out a little something more about it. If they do not know what they are, they should inform the public of that nature. Mr. Hogan, the UFOs have been cited, I believe, more than 16,000 reports. Is that right, sir?
Well, there were about 16,000 news clippings, which various witnesses reported from time to time during the period from about 1947 through about 1953, as reported by Edward Ruppelt in his book, Unidentified Flying Objects. Edward Ruppelt was chief of the Air Force's Project Blue Book investigating flying saucers from 1951 to 1953.
What is your explanation of why the Air Force does not release data to the citizens of the United States about what these things are?
Well, Bob, I don't think it's the entire Air Force. At one time, there were segments of it that regarded this thing as worthy of public attention, and they released or had released from the Pentagon sightings to Donald Kehoe, our director, in which was published in his book, Flying Saucers Are from Outer Space. And at that time, the lid was more open, and now the lid has closed. For what reason? I do not know, except that several reasons have been put forth. One is that they may create a small panic, and possibly another reason is that they have not fully explained this phenomenon, and until they do, they will probably want to study it much more.
Donald Kehoe, who is the president of this organization, has come out with a statement that we had on before, shortly before this interview, and he made the statement that during 1959, he predicted that the Air Force would release all of its restrictions and make known to the public that the UFOs are real. And do you think that this will happen, sir?
Well, Bob, I don't know. It depends on how much pressure is put on the Air Force and, of course, probably the Central Intelligence Agency, who may be behind the whole thing.
You have some interesting events that have happened to you, and we will get back to these in a little bit later. But right now, I'd like to thank you, sir, for being with us, and we will get back to your strange sightings and your investigations a little bit later on. People, places, and things, you meet them all on WDNC Radio. People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio. In the Durham Herald, the edition of September 30th, 1958, a story appeared, and I'd like to read from this story now. A meteor streaked through the moonlight pre-dawn sky over central North Carolina Monday, touching off reports of a plane crash in the area. Investigations, however, discounted that the plane crash theory, and authorities said the strange, brilliant object seen flashing in the sky at 4:30 a.m. was a meteorite which burned out in the atmosphere. The object was visible in the Harnett, Cumberland County area and at Fort Bragg. The Dunn Police Department received reports that a plane might have crashed near the area. The local NICAP organization, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, investigated this happening in Dunn, North Carolina. And with us to report on this investigation is Mr. Jim Puller, who is president of the Malvern Hotel Incorporated Association in Durham. And Mr. Puller, could you tell us exactly what the NICAP committee did?
Well, Bob, first we read the report in the local newspapers saying that first the plane crash had been reported, and then that report was discounted because authorities said it was a meteor. Further to that, a report came over a station WPTF, which I believe is a Dunn radio station. That made it sound a little more curious by saying that the object looked like a big barn on fire. The whole thing sounded just a little strange, so we decided to go over and take a look at it. Ben Haugen, who was the president of our local NICAP chapter, and myself drove over to Dunn about 2 days after the sighting. And we found, with the cooperation of the local radio station, that the report had been turned in by a Mr. William E. Tart, who is in charge of the Lee Trucking Terminal at night. We contacted Mr. Tart at his home. He described this object to us as looking like the fuselage of a B-29 without wings. It was glowing in the front, and from the glow, the reflected glow along the sides and rear of the object, he could see windows. We found out that there were several other boys with him at the time. We contacted one of them at his home. He confirmed Tart's description of the thing, with the exception that he said he could see no windows, but that the object did reflect a metallic glow. This certainly did not sound like a meteor. We checked with the local police department and found that they contacted the highway patrol, who in turn contacted the Raleigh-Durham Airport. The Raleigh-Durham Airport told the highway patrol that there was a report of an unidentified object streaking through the sky in the south easterly direction about that time, but that nothing further was known about it. These boys in Dunn claimed that this object was crashing in the vicinity of Coates, which is northwest of Dunn. The local policeman on duty at the time investigated to see if they could find any trace of a crash plane in that area, and nothing was found. There was no questioning of the witnesses by any so-called authorities to determine what the object looked like to them, what their description was of it, the speed it was traveling at, or the angle it was coming in at. So therefore, it seems very strange that the newspaper reports carried as having the authorities declare it was a meteor.
Do you think that this this report and this explanation is one of the 7 out of 10 that the Air Force claimed that have been identified of the UFOs, Mr. Fuller?
Well, it's very possible because this, if this is their method of identifying them, that they can identify something without any evidence or any eyewitness reports. And that may account for the 7 that they can explain. But I personally think that it falls within the 3 out of 10 category of the unknowns.
I, for one, have investigated a report that was made to me by your local committee, your local club here, about a happening several years ago at the Oak Ridge Atomic Energy site in Tennessee. And I have inquired from an Air Force general who would not let me quote his statement and would not tape a program with me, but he did verify that a strange happening did occur several years ago at the Oak Ridge Institute. The report has that a strange object landed within a quarter to a half a mile from the atomic energy site, and that the security police of the atomic energy, I believe you've heard this too, haven't you, sir?
Yes, I have.
And went to this, to investigate this strange object, which was supposedly to have landed within a half a mile of the atomic energy site. Upon reaching approximately 200-300 yards from this particular site, there was 8 vehicles. All of the power of these vehicles just vanished. The cars stopped. There was no electrical power whatsoever to start the cars. And the happening was explained as could not be explained, and they still don't know what happened. The NICAP committee has numerous accounts like this, haven't they?
Numerous accounts, Bob. They're not only of automobiles, but of planes in the air where the ignition is just turned off and then just as automatically turned on again after the disappearance of the UFO.
The investigation that you had and done, does the committee, both here in Durham and also the committee in Washington, believe that this was a flying saucer?
Well, the committee in Washington does not accept all reports of UFOs quite so readily as that. They have a board of advisors, and the board of advisors study all of these reports, and they do not give them out overnight or even within several weeks. This thing, these reports or findings of the board are certainly well considered and carefully considered before they accept them as bona fide UFOs. So we have yet to receive a report on that from our Board of Advisors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Puller. People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio. People, places, and things, and you meet them all on WDNC Radio. Continuing our series on UFOs, unidentified flying objects, we have with us Mr. Jim Puller, who is president of the Malvern Hotel Incorporated chain here in Durham. And Mr. Puller, could you tell us how you first began to be interested in NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena?
Well, I go back a little further than that, Bob. I became interested in the UFO situation through my friendship and contact with pilots with the British Overseas Airways Corporation during the period that I was in New York. Several of those boys, who I might consider are the most unimaginative types in the world, have had actual sightings on this sort of thing. One of them, Captain Jim Howard, even went to the extent of awakening all of his passengers so that they too could see the objects that were hovering around the plane and maneuvering around the plane. When he reported this by radio to the local Air Force base at Gander, I believe it was, they sent up a flight of jet interceptors to see what these things were. At the approach of the jets, the UFOs took off at a rate of speed that the jets could not hope to duplicate and were lost. When people like that believe in them and have seen them, I can hardly do anything but become curious about the thing. And since then, I've read just about every article on them, every news clipping on them, and all the books and all that sort of thing, and I've come to the conclusion that there is nothing to do but accept the fact that there is something unusual in the sky.
Is this not unusual, though, that, Jim, that you belong to an organization such as this, and you have never seen a UFO?
Not quite. I wouldn't say that, because our director, Major Kehoe, has informed me that he has never personally sighted one of these things, except on radar. And, however, as I say, the overwhelming body of evidence is for the existence of such things. When you have people such as Professor Hermann Oberth, the father of rocketry, making the statement that these things definitely exist, and our ambassador to Switzerland, Mr. Henry Taylor, when the question was put before him at a Senate committee, which was passing upon his ability to serve as our ambassador, someone threw the question at him that they understood he was a believer in the existence of flying saucers. He admitted such a belief and brought out the fact that at the time he said 10% of these things were unaccounted for, and that there's definitely something there and that should be investigated. So when you have people of that sort believing in these things and purely on the basis of eyewitness reports, you have no alternative but to accept them.
Don't you believe, though, sir, that there's a possibility that, this UFO thing, the unidentified flying object thing, and the flying saucer stories are sometimes exaggerated?
I have no doubt that sometimes they are exaggerated. Someone sees something in the air that he thinks does not belong there. I think there's a tendency on the part of any human being to become just a slight bit panicky. However, you have all of these qualified observers, such as airlines pilots, astronomers, such as Clyde Tombaugh, the discoverer of Pluto, who spends his life looking into the heavens and in space. When they see these things and report on them and accept the fact that they are there, you must go along with them. I'll use an example of that. If a reputable person that you knew to be a reputable person swore in a court of law that he saw someone commit a murder, that man that he accused would probably hang. However, if that same man said he saw a UFO, you'd probably say he was crazy. So
that's true. Now, let's get across to our listening audience, Mr. Puller, what the NICAP committee is trying to do.
NICAP committee is merely trying to bring this thing into the open. They believe that the public should be advised what these things are and why they're here if possible. If, as the Air Force claims, they do not exist, I'll quote Major Kehoe on this. He said they should shoot the entire thing down and have done with it once and for all. But this business of running in circles, one time saying they do exist, other times stating that they do not exist, that they're a hallucination, it just creates a lot of confusion with the public. If someone sees something in the air now, then I believe all of these things should be reported to the Air Force for investigation. But at the present situation, with the way it exists, people are afraid to report anything for fear of ridicule.
Thank you very much, Mr. Puller, for a very interesting interview. Mr. Jim Puller, president of the Malvern Hotel Incorporated Association here in Durham. People, places, and things, you hear them all on WDNC Radio.